Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Welcome back to the only talk show in the world that doesn't need phone calls. And the only talk show in the world with 4,500 hours of archived material on its website. 4,500 hours, the only talk show in the world that has an archive that big. And I mean, it's big, Jack. It's big, and it's getting bigger by the second.
Yeah, whip it out and lay it on the bar and see if yours is the same.
All right, bud. You don't have to take the comparison that far. In any event.
What did he say?
He said whip it out and lay it on the bar. So go over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass to the magnificence that is our show. And as well as check out our live feed, which is our Phil Hendry, Phil TV in HD. We have our video cast every night. We also have a podcast of the show every day, after, so you can download the show. We also have a free podcast that is just everywhere, man. In fact, it's on iTunes. And if you listen to our free podcast, please do give us a thumbs up. This is the podcast that I did today for my good friend Christine Blackburn. I've known Christine for a long time, and along with Hannes Finney, they do Story Worthy podcast. And Shotgun Story Worthy is a little game of truth that they play in the middle of it. And I went over and I did it today with the guys. And the reason why I like showing you the card is because there's a little bit of a green screen effect. It almost looks like it's invisible. So, and I'd love for you guys to check them out on Twitter. And also, I will give you the exact time that it goes up, the podcast, Story Worthy podcast with me and Christine and Hannes on Monday, I believe. I'll let you know the exact time that happens. And they're both, Christine especially, both broadcast veterans, and they've been doing a lot. And it's an amazing, I had a lot of fun with the guys, and we talked. It was interesting because they say, well, you start out telling a story because everybody sort of has an angle. Well, I told a story. I guess I gave my philosophy about something, and I don't want to give away what I was talking about. But then it just sort of turned into, let's talk about stuff. And it was a lot of fun. Now, I'm bringing that up because I owe, first of all, a big thanks to Alex, my brother-in-arms, my stepson, who is also a member of our company, a guy who works very hard for our company, because when I was out there today, I drove from the El Pacifico to Los Feliz today to go to the Christine's studio. And oh, no, I went to Jumbo's Clown Room. That's right, I forgot. It was Jumbo's Clown Room. And anyway, so as I drove over there, I had stopped to get gas. I was on the phone with my friend Amir Forrester, and I was talking, and I was very absentmindedly paying at the pump as I was on the phone. And this is, this is the world we live in. And I shouldn't even say we. This is my problem. I get in the car, and I drive all the way into L.A., and I get parked, and I'm feeling pretty good because I was actually listening. You know what I was listening to?
What?
I was listening to Jack I. Gagner and
just the Lions game.
I was listening to the Lions and the New York Pets game. Yeah, the podcast, which was actually amusing me, making me laugh. So I was feeling good. I got out of the car and I go, my wallet. I always reach, and I know a lot of guys maybe the same way.
Where do you reach?
What? Don't quit trying to be a smartass, okay?
Yeah, you can say you reach into your pants.
Shut up.
What?
You guys, I reach to the back pocket. Thank you very much. I always, when I get out of the car, I'll reach the back pocket, make sure the wallet's there. It wasn't there. And now panic set in because there's, I don't know about the rest of you, but there's an instantaneous, a flash that happens.
You remember like everywhere you were.
Exactly. It takes about not even a second for me to go back through everything that happened between the last time I used my wallet and that instant where it is not there. And as I turn to go back to the car, hoping it was in the car, there was a piece of me that suddenly was panicking because I had a stinking hunch I'd left it at the gas station.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, that all took place in about a second to a second and a half. I went, holy God. I went back to the car, and sure enough, it's not there. It's not in the car anywhere, not in the driver's seat, not in the...
Checked down between the driver's seat and everything?
Yeah, I did. I checked everything, bud.
Because it might be there.
I found... Will you hold on and let me tell the story?
Oh, you found it. Where was it?
Will you hold... You guys, I'm going to... I swear to God, man, there's going to be murder committed. It's going to be sandbagging the front door. I'm going to start throwing bodies out, namely two, starting with you, Bud, and then you, Robert. Okay?
Yeah, then they put you in a nut house.
That's fine with me. That's exactly where I want to go. A nut house. If they shoot me up with some of those good drugs... And I can just watch maybe one of my shows a day in the day room with Walter Belhaven, I will be good to go, brother. In any event, so I'm like, holy God, no. So I got on the horn to Alex. I immediately called him. I said, dude, you got to help me. I got an emergency. He said, what? I said, I need you. I want you to take down these names. I need you to cancel every one of these credit cards. I want you to call, and I gave him my ID number, and I gave him my Social Security and my birth date. I said, you got to call American Express. You got to call Bank of America. I need for you to call and get all these cards canceled. Because I got three credit cards, and I got a debit card. I've got two business cards. I've got an American Express card, and that's it. And I go by the name of Phineas Bradbury.
Really?
No, not really. In any event... I should, though. Anyway, I said, Alex, do me one favor, will you, man? He says, what? He says, I'll get on it right now, man. I said, do me one favor, because I knew he lived near there. I said, would you do me a favor? He says, what? The gas station that I was at was XYZ. I gave him the description. He knows the place. I said, would you go back and just drive through the pump and maybe ask the people inside? He says, okay. I said, thank you, man. All of this is happening as I'm walking through the front door of the Jumbo's Clown Room studio where Christine and Hannes are about ready to go on the air with their podcast, and there I am. And they're sweet people, and they're happy to see me, and I'm happy to see them. And the first thing I said, I'm sorry, you guys, I lost my wallet. And I mean, in unison, it's like one of those, it's one of those moments in human, in a human being's day that everybody can relate to at some point.
Well, sort of, but not as much.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't think I've ever lost my wallet with an Express.
I never had an American Express, you know?
Well, what difference does it make? I'm talking about losing a wallet.
I had a JCPenney card, but it was my mom's.
It doesn't matter what credit card. Losing your wallet, people out there listening understand what I'm saying. Losing your driver's license. And they, in unison, they're, oh, man, no. You know, everybody was like, oh, God, yo, dude, that's bad. That's bad, 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 bad. I said, yeah, I'm waiting on my son to call me. I hope and pray, I sent up a special offering to the gods. I burned I sacrificed a cat or something. I forget what. No, I'm kidding. I did what Catholics do. I probably did a prayer to St. Anthony or something. Although I don't remember because I probably didn't, you know.
That's why you don't remember.
Exactly. I don't remember praying to St. Anthony. I know why. I didn't. So the phone rings. It's Alex. I go, Alex, what's up? He says, they've got your wallet. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but they probably still would steal out of it. Did you go get it?
No, they didn't steal out of it. No, I didn't go get it right away because I was 40 miles away. I was in L.A., okay?
What happened?
I don't know who you are out there. I have no idea if you're listening tonight. But I am telling you, and you know who you are because you know where and everything was, the gas station, and...
Yeah, that's how you know it'd be really person, because they were at...
But will you just be quiet? But whoever you are, if you're listening to me tonight, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but you know what? You gotta think of something, man. Nobody's gonna use a credit card now because credit card company, they know how to close it down, you know?
Well, I don't know, man.
Yeah, they always say, hey, did you last use, where'd you lose your card? Where did you use your card? Oh, yeah, well, you can't use it no more.
I've had that happen to me, but I know what you guys are talking about. Yes, yes. There's a security apparatus in place with a lot of these credit card companies where if they see unusual activity, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. But there's also something called identity theft. And there's also something called, these shrewd guys that get around all that jazz. You know?
What's it called?
Shrewd guys that get around all that jazz. Nothing.
So, just for want of something to call it. So... Make a long story short, I was sweating buckets, Jack, and I was about to head into a little piece of work, you know, doing a podcast for these guys that I wanted to do a good job on and help them out, and I'm sitting here worrying about, and my God, he called up, he said, they've got the wallet, Phil. I said, oh, man, thank you. I said, dude, can you just take it? He says, they won't give it to me. I said, oh, all right, I sort of understand that. He says, they won't give it to anybody but you. And I said, well, let me talk to her. And so I talked to the lady, and I said, hi, my name is Phil Hendry. And
she said, a guy on the radio?
No, she didn't recognize me at all.
Why not?
Because she probably listens to Umberto Luna or one of the cat. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway. So I said, I'm Phil Hendry, and that is my wallet that you have. Can I give you some information as to identification so you can release it to my son? She says, I can't do that. I have to see you. Your driver's license is here, and I have to see what you look like. And I said, yeah, you know what? I totally understand. I totally get it.
You mean she wouldn't even give it to you?
Bud, I don't care, man. Are you getting a message here? I'm glad that they were taking care of it. I'm glad that they were being that cautious with it. I'm so thankful they found it. You know. So anyway, I got to wrap this up because we're going into a break. But I said, I understand. I'll be by tonight. What time do you get off your shift? She said, you know, at this particular time. I said, great. So on my way back, I swung by. Hi, I'm Mr. Hendry. And she was about to change shifts over with another guy. But I got, bottom line is I got my wallet back.
Everything in it?
All my credit cards were in it. I don't carry cash. And even, you know, if there was cash in it, I could give a crap if there was cash missing.
So it wasn't worth being stolen or anything.
But you always want to think the worst about people, you know? What do you think? Some thief? Let me see. Oh, wow. Now there's nothing here for me to steal. I'll go and take it to the person so they can make sure that the person who lost it will get it back. Probably a thief doesn't give a damn. Or he's going to take it anyway to see if there's anything he can do with it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com. We'll do a little review of what's been going on here in Charlotte. You know, y'all, I'm doing that in Charlotte because they got themselves a Democratic National Convention thing all day, y'all. Anyway, we'll do that and some other nonsense. When we return here, the world famous, you get the picture, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back.
What's that?
I was joking around. I crossed myself for the benefit of Phil TV and HD. And
yeah, I wonder what that was.
I was fooling around. All right. So anyway, to wrap up on this story, because it does go on, I got my wallet back, and I thank whoever turned it in. It's an amazing thing. I try to always remember in my life, you know, these moments, because one of these days I'm going to find a wallet somewhere, and when I do... See you later, because I am on my way.
Really?
I'm kidding. No, I will turn it into... In fact, I know I did this. I did this in Hollywood one day, and I was right across the street from the old Hamburger Hamlet, and I had gone into an office building, and I said, well, you know what? I want to go and get some cash. And I walked across the street, and it was a Bank of America, and lo and behold... something happened that was, it was bizarre. I put my card in, but my card was spit out. And I thought, well, maybe it's one of those machines that does that. You know, the card, you, all it needs to do is process the card for a half a second, and it came out. All right. Then when I went to the screen, I noticed that there were how much cash do you want buttons already there. And I thought, this is a new kind of machine, and it just turned out I want $200. I hit $200.
Yeah, you're lying. You
shut up, will you, bud? No, I'm not lying until you hear the end of the story. So $200 comes out, and then, do you want any more service? You know how it says? And I said, no. And out comes another card.
Oh, man, was someone else's card in there?
Yes, somebody had walked away from that machine... and left their card in it. And out came this card. So, no, bud, I didn't take the card and the money. I walked inside the bank. And,
why'd you do that, you idiot? Because you had $200.
Because I'm not a thief. You understand? I'm not a thief.
Well, you're going to tell me you take that $200? Well, no, but I mean...
You know, bud, you don't know who lost that $200, and it doesn't matter. So I walked into the bank, and I shouldn't, you know, I'm making a joke. Well, not really, but I mean, I said to the guy, hi, I was just out here at your cash, and the guy looked up from a phone call. You know how these bank people are?
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I just walked, well, but, you know, it's like I was distracting him. I'm sorry to bother you, but I just, I found this card in the machine, and I accidentally took this $200 from this person's account. All right, Jill. And the guy's like, oh, geez, that's never happened before. That's crazy. That's insane. All right, you know, thank you very much, sir. And that was the end of that, you know.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
What about a reward or anything?
Who's going to give me the reward? The bank? The guy, whoever lost the card wasn't there. I only bring it up to illustrate a point, which is to say, I don't know about you, and maybe you're like this, but I ain't going to take somebody's money. I'm not going to take money out of someone's account, you know.
And probably you're afraid of being caught, right?
No, man, I ain't afraid of being caught. I'm afraid of that good old-fashioned American thing called karma, you know?
Well, that's really Indian.
Yeah, maybe it's Indian, but the fact is, I'm afraid of karma. I don't want any rotten, stinking karma falling back on me because I thieved a couple of $100 out of somebody one fine, feathery afternoon. Ain't gonna happen, man. And so you remember these things. And I swear to God, man, I will remember the day that I got my wallet back. Because I already had told Alex, dude, we're going to have to start canceling cards. I got to get my driver's license, everything, you know. And I was in the process. We were just about ready to do that, but he had gone.
Man, what? Think about, man, if he'd already started doing that.
Yeah, and then you got your wallet.
Exactly. Well, that's why I said to him, would you please check first the store where I was? And he said, yep, they have your wallet. Man, dude, you don't know. I mean, I brought up the case of, and I don't care. I will tell you the name of the hotel. It was in San Diego. It was at the Comic-Con. We were at the Hyatt there, right next to the convention center. And I left my watch in the hotel room like an idiot. Like an idiot. And it was a watch I've had for years, and it was a watch that I'd had it for over 10 years. It's gone now. Because I left it in a hotel room at the Hyatt in San Diego, and when I called him up and I said, would you please have someone go back and check? Yeah, it's not there, sir. You know, my kids gave, yeah, you've already said that, sir. I'll never forget the guy gave me that line, man. If I'd have been standing in front of him, you know.
You know, I probably would be in jail right now, man, for having slapped him or something.
No, I wouldn't have slapped him. I would have gotten really angry, but fact is, they couldn't find it. Yeah, bull crap.
Well, how do you know it was there?
Let me tell you how I know it was there, bud, because I had it on my wrist when I went to bed that night. I took it off on the bedstand, and I got packed the next day, and I took a shower, all that stuff, and I split, and I left it there. And I got about as far as Oceanside, that was north of San Diego, so I was pretty far out of the downtown San Diego area, and that's when I called the hotel. I realized that I'd, left it there, and they didn't know from diddly-poo. So am I calling somebody a thief? Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. Yeah, you got it. And if it ain't there, it ain't there. And did a maid take it? I don't know. Did somebody housekeeping take it? I don't know. You know, who took it? Did the manager of the hotel take it? I don't know, man. All I can tell you is I had that damn, and the treatment on the phone that I got from that ass.
Yeah, but you know something, man? You're always leaving stuff. You can't be blaming people for that.
That is a good point. Leaving a wallet. Then I'm going to leave a...
All right, good point. You're right, I do leave stuff. But don't you want to say when somebody does a good turn for you? And by the way, if people didn't leave stuff, there wouldn't be lost and found departments at hotels. And you wouldn't have people unlocking rooms and going in and looking for stuff. It happens all the time. It's part of the service that a good hotel provides you with. And that is a lost and found, a place where things, and things do get lost. So, you know, what do you want me to tell you? I will make this commitment. I will renew this commitment that I will continue to be an honest man as far as I can, you know, as far as it goes. We all have to swim in the same water. I'm joking. I just wanted to quote that line from Chinatown. No, you know, I will continue to be an honest man and I will continue to turn in things if and when they present themselves to me and I don't need them. I mean, I don't, you know...
Yeah.
All right, look, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Some news here, and I don't know how old it is, but on our radio program, it's news, and we do want to lay it on you just as soon as this page loads. What's up with it, bud?
Yeah, the page loading kind of slow on Google.
Yeah, Google is not.
It ain't called Googly. If I got to tell you guys once, I got to tell you a million. It's Google, okay?
Well, it doesn't spell out like that. It spells out Googly.
It don't spell Googly. G-O-O-G-L-E is Google. What's up with this, man? It's not loading.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm flipping a thing.
Well, the news that we have here, and probably it isn't loading because it's a big story, Drew Peterson has been convicted of murder in the death of his third wife. Drew Peterson convicted of murder in the death of his third wife. The volume of evidence led to conviction. A member of the jury that convicted Drew Peterson of first-degree murder says he was convinced of the former police officer's guilt by the number of witnesses lined up against him. Ron Cipallo, in a telephone interview on Thursday, said despite the hearsay and circumstantial nature of the evidence, it was the volume of witnesses that swayed him. The 58-year-old Peterson sat stoically as the Will County judge read the jury's guilty verdict in the death of his third wife, Kathleen Savio. Cipallo said he had little difficulty deciding Savio's death was a homicide and not an accident, as Peterson's attorneys contended and pathologists testified. He said defense attorneys were unsuccessful in explaining away the injuries the woman suffered. Cipallo said Stacy Peterson's disappearance wasn't a factor in the deliberations. Now, that's just the testimony of one particular juror in the case. So Drew Peterson, the ex-police officer in Illinois... Savio's family reacts. Finally, somebody heard Kathleen's cries. With tears falling and arms raised in vindication, Kathleen Savio's stepmother called Drew Peterson's guilty verdict justice for her daughter after years of waiting. Finally, somebody heard Kathleen's cries. Marcia Savio yelled to cheers from a crowd of onlookers. 12 people did the right thing. Thank God she won today. It's her victory. After 14 hours of deliberation, a 7-man, 5-woman Will County jury found Peterson guilty of murdering his third wife in a bathtub in 2004. As the verdict came down, gasps were heard throughout the courtroom, and Savio's family immediately hugged each other. This is better than the White Sox winning the World Series, Savio's brother Nick Savio told reporters after the verdict came down.
They ever win the World Series?
I don't know. Have they?
I'll check.
Whatever. In a statement read through tears, Nick Savio said his sister received justice after a very long time. He said he hopes and prays Savio's children never forget. We do have some audio, I think, of the mother, Mrs. Savio. If we can get to that, I don't know if we'll be able to. But this was one of these long-standing cases, because this guy Peterson acted like he had this thing beat, you know?
Well, yeah, he's a cop, man. He thought like he had all the angles, you know?
Well, I don't know whether he thought he had all the... I bet you he thought there was some sort of brotherhood. Here is...
Here is the... We want to thank all of the prosecutors. Fantastic. They couldn't have it. They couldn't have done a better job for it. Finally, somebody heard Kathleen cry. 12 people did the right thing. Oh, thank God. Now we're going to go see Kitty and let her know how much we love her. And she won today. It's our victory. And all those other lawyers can go smoke cigars downstairs with the red man in the suit and twist our tails.
With the red man in the
thank
suit.
You.
Thank you guys for being here for us. That's my mom, Marcia Savio. That's my
Again,
dad.
We heard a very emotional...
There you go. That was Marcia Savio, the stepmother of Kathleen Savio. And I've heard some pretty creative ways of telling somebody to go to hell. We've used a lot of them on our show, but...
Yeah, I wrote it down, Phil. My notes showed it. She said, go smoke cigars with the man in the red suit.
Yeah, go smoke cigars with the man in the red suit.
Okay, so that's the story there is Drew Peterson. I did have a, you know, I had the main story, but it was not loading. And I don't know what it's not loading because it's a Google News story or what. But a jury found Drew Peterson guilty of murder and the death of his third wife. As reported by the Associated Press, Peterson was convicted Thursday of first-degree murder for Kathleen Savio's death and is now set to be sentenced. I think the guy, he put a lot of people off, this guy, Peterson, because he was acting like a real jackass through this whole thing, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, he said it was an accident, and they said it was an accident. And what do you mean?
Well, he's walking around. I remember when the press was out there, he came out with his own video camera, and then he was joking it up and yucking it up with some of the reporters when they finally hauled his ass into jail. And for all, he looked to me like, and I hate to be a Mr. Amateur Detective, but the fact is, you know, he looked like the kind of guy that we talk about. We talk about psychopaths or sociopaths, like no emotion, doesn't know what the appropriate response is, because that's what sociopaths don't get it. They just, you know, they react inappropriately because they don't know enough about people with emotional lives to know what's the right emotion to show. So they'll be laughing at certain things, or they'll find certain things funny when they're not at all, or they, and then when you finally tell them that it's not funny, then they kind of look shocked. I've had them, I've had people like that look at me with the most confused look on their face. Absolutely the most confused look on their face when you say to them, you know what, you're a low-down piece of crap. You ought to only die. You are, you know, if I could get away with it, I'd stick your ass in the ground myself. And they'll look at you.
What did you say? You said that to somebody?
No, I didn't say that. But I have said to people who acted in an unconscionable way, I've said things to them, very pointed things, and they look at you like, what? Now, this isn't somebody who doesn't know or hasn't been caught. These are people that were caught. They were caught stealing. They were caught lying. They were caught, you know, taking advantage of people, and you'll look at them as, and I have in my life, I've said to some people, you are really the lowest thing on earth, you piece of garbage, and they stare at you not with an amused look, because that's the last thing a psychopath wants to do. He doesn't want to do anything that is counter to his own interests. He wants to make sure that his own interests are seen through. So if he's confronted with someone who's saying, you piece of crap, if I could get away with it, I'd stick your ass in a hole in the ground. And he's confronted with real anger. He looks confused because he thought he put one over on you. And if it isn't that, he looks confused because he wants to make sure that he's, you know, well, why do you think that? Well, we caught you doing what you're doing. Everybody knows you did it. Everybody knows you're a low-down lying snake. So what are you, you know, so when they give you that confused look, they say, wow, I told you I was innocent. Didn't you understand? You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. They try to get away to the bitter end, even though you know it's them.
Exactly. And, or they give you that confused look like they really are confused. Like, how the hell, what are you talking about? I mean, I thought I had you people snowed. Sometimes you get that look. So there's no real satisfaction in confronting a real psychopath or a sociopath with the truth. There's no satisfaction because they don't understand what you're up. They think that what they did, everybody does. Everybody does, except they didn't get away with it, and that's what's unfair. Look at that. You got me. All you people do the same thing. Because if you don't do the same thing, then you're part of the prey. You're part of the people that he'll go after to take advantage of. And if you're not one of the prey, then you're one of him. And if you don't understand what he did, then you're a liar and you're taking advantage of him and you should be in jail with him.
No, they never get it.
No, they never get it. They never get it. Right now, Drew Peterson is thinking the following. I guarantee you this is what he's thinking. That bitch deserved it. And if we didn't live in, you know, if these people didn't have it in for me, and the media especially, they did it to me, I would have been innocent, you know? And she did basically die from an accident because she's stupid. And she, you know, this, I mean, they'll come up with a guy. That's what he's saying right now. All Drew Peterson's thinking right now is, how do I get my ass out of here? How they, these people have got to be the most corrupt, and they're a bunch of liars. And look at them sticking me in jail, and half of them belong in the same place I'm at anyway. And they all do the same stuff to their wives. They know they do. And I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. That's what he's going to be thinking about until he realizes there ain't no getting out of there, man. And that's when he's going to just...
Yeah, they'll be left to like playing his jailhouse games with people.
Yeah. Then he'll have to play some jailhouse games to, you know, manipulate the system inside and get the cushy job. Whatever the hell those guys do, you know, so... But that's what he's thinking right now, man. But they never, ever, ever... If you think they're ever going to feel sorry, it ain't going to happen. It's like I heard a guy say the other day. It's like a birth defect. They're born with it, or it develops shortly after birth. They say most psychopaths are formed within the first 3 years of life. The first 3 years. And they've dealt with psychopathic children. I told you that one story, right?
Yeah, the little girl.
Yeah, there's a little girl. There's a classic case of a little girl, case study of a little girl who kept trying to flush the kitten down a toilet. Trying to flush a cat down a toilet. And every time they caught her trying to do it, she would cry, not because she had been harming this beautiful little kitten, but because she was scolded for it. And she couldn't do what she wanted to do.
But I mean, little kids want to do weird stuff.
Not kill an animal, man.
No, man, that's way out there.
Not kill an animal, no. Little children want to put their hands in the fire because they don't know the fire will burn them. Little children want to do, they want to cross the street because they don't know how dangerous it is. But they damn sure understand hurting a cat or hurting a dog, you know, they don't want to do it. All right, let's go to a break and come back with more of these scintillating insights from your friend and mine, Phil Hendry. I guess I am my own friend.
Yeah, you should be.
Right. We'll be right back here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
That was his third wife.
Yeah, that was what was confusing me. I got to be honest with you, this whole Drew Peterson story, this whole Drew Peterson scenario has been out of my mind for so long for reasons that are, you know, obvious to me. I mean, that guy's smirking freaking face. The idea that guy was a cop, can you imagine being pulled over by that guy and what kind of games he was playing with people? Anyway, there is a story that I want to read to you because this is an important story. The reason why this guy Drew Peterson came to national prominence in the first place wasn't because of the death of Kathleen Savio, his, I guess, third wife. It was his wife, Stacy Peterson, the fourth wife, who went missing. So he got convicted
for a third wife.
For his third wife, who I believe was found in a bathtub. And the pathologist's original report was that she had drowned. And I believe that they came to the Kathleen, review the Kathleen Savio case again because of the questions they had about Stacy Peterson. So though Drew Peterson was tried and convicted of murdering Kathleen Savio, the former police sergeant's missing fourth wife had a constant presence during the trial. They tried keeping her out of the courtroom, and eventually two profound statements were made by her, and that's what did it, said Pamela Bosco, a spokeswoman for Stacy Peterson, who went missing in October 2007. They sealed his fate. Judge Edward Bermilla barred any mention of Stacy Peterson's disappearance during the trial, but jurors heard from her through the testimonies of Reverend Neil Shorey and attorney Harry Smith. Reverend Shorey said Stacy had told him Peterson disappeared from their home around the time of Savio's death. Smith testified she called him days before her disappearance and wanted to know if, in my opinion, the fact that he's killed Kathy could be used against him. Huh? Stacy told him Peterson disappeared from their home around the time of Savio's death, and then she called and wanted to know if the fact he killed Kathy could be used against him. Though Peterson was never charged in Stacy's disappearance, many believe he had a role in her vanishing. Stacy's case is next, no matter what, Bosco told reporters. He said this Thursday after a 7-man, 5-woman jury found Peterson guilty in the Savio death. We still have to pay the price for Stacy. I still believe that's around the corner. Stacy Peterson's sister, Cassandra Kales, said the family's in constant contact with police and hopes someone will come forward with new information. James Glasgow, Will County State's attorney, told reporters outside the Joliet courthouse, prosecutors plan to review the evidence in Stacy's disappearance and aggressively seek to charge Peterson. I don't know if they will.
Why would they even do that, man?
Yeah, a lot of times they say, well, got you on that, then you don't get due, you know?
Hey, Bud, why don't you slow down, man? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm always getting sing-songy, man.
What do you mean?
You're just what Robert said. You always get sing-songy when you go too fast. Yeah.
Well, what I said was a lot of times they won't charge a guy if he's guilty of one crime because they found out that he's guilty of another crime.
That didn't sound much better, man.
Well, I'm speaking English.
Well, yeah, you're speaking a form of English. Are you saying that they won't go after him because they already got him for one?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
That's possible, man. It's possible. It's possible. I mean, I've heard of that doesn't sound like it in this case, though. It doesn't sound like that's what this DA wants to do here. It sounds to me like this DA is saying, no. No, we're gonna go ahead and nail his ass. Now, you know, it's not contingent, but they haven't sentenced this scumbag yet. They haven't sentenced this guy yet. And maybe depending upon what he gets, you know.
Boy, you ain't gonna say you're gonna get the, what do you call it?
Parole.
Parole?
I don't know. I don't know what the state law is. But he was convicted of killing his wife. And what didn't they say? First-degree murder? I think they said so. So he, you know, this is going to be a heavy thing. I mean, if this guy has a chance of being paroled, maybe they will go after him on this other murder to make sure that he never walks the streets again. That's entirely possible. But there it is, folks. That's the story of the Stacy Peterson trial. But, you know, this guy, Drew Peterson, had been getting literally away with murder for a long time. And, he wasn't doing himself any favors. I mean, I got to tell you. And again, he's the same, like we were saying before we went to the break. These psychopaths, they never really know how to act. They never quite really know how to act because they don't know what appropriate emotions should be used. They are completely without any emotional life, so they... I saw a thing. Remember that thing we saw the other night, Robert, where the lady was reenacting how her husband died for a local TV station?
Yeah. And she was like laughing and everything.
Exactly. And they even showed this tape again. And this tape, this TV station wanted her to show them for this video report they were doing how it was that her husband had died because she was claiming an accident. In point of fact, she'd actually killed him. And there she is. With a broken arm, she's got one arm in a cast, and she's awkwardly trying to show this bullcrap story and laughing about it, and then wanting to go back and do it again. And then when they came to do a report on her at her house, she wanted to get all dressed up, and she suggested ideas for the report, and she suggested this and that, you know?
So she's looking like she was inappropriateness.
Yeah, she was being inappropriate. She was, in other words, a lot of people will say, well, you don't know how you're going to act in a situation like that. And it's very true. You don't. But we also know that anybody who is a sociopathic or psychopathic person hasn't got an emotional life, so they don't know what to draw on. They don't know what to fake, and they don't know how to look. They literally don't, and they misstep all the time. And I don't know if there's anybody listening to me in prison right now who got thrown in there as the result of your ass acting inappropriate. That's what we're taught. You are probably a psychopath because you didn't know you were supposed to cry when you were laughing, and you didn't know you were supposed to laugh when you were crying. And you ain't never going to learn how to do that, dummy. That's why you're where you are.
Yeah.
That's why you're where you are. Because you're acting silly, and you're acting serious, and all the stuff you do, man, real human beings don't act that way. So you ain't as smart as you think you are. It ain't that you're dumb. It's that you just don't know what emotions are. So you screw the whole thing up. I've seen people do that in my own life, man, laughing at stuff. And you go, what the hell are you laughing at, man? I don't know. I just think it's funny. You know?
Yeah, you know something, man? My cousin sometimes creeps us out that way. Like I seen on TV, the man that got his face ate, you know?
Yeah, the Miami zombie guy.
Yeah, and we were all, man, that's bad. And my cousin's all, ha, ha, ha. I go, what the hell are you laughing at, ML? He said, you don't think that's funny?
Your cousin thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, he said, yeah, the guy got his face eat off, ha, 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 like that.
Yeah, there's something wrong with him, man.
Yeah, that say so. But a lot of people find weird stuff funny.
No. Let me explain something to you. No, I'll tell you this. Has your cousin been to war? Was he drunk? You know?
No, none of that stuff. I mean, you know,
because you'll laugh at stuff sometimes inappropriately if you're drunk or you've been smoking weed or something. Or maybe if you've been to war and you've seen the worst kind of violence there is, some things you may be numb to.
No, not my cousin.
Then you need to, you know, get out of the house, man, and make sure you stay away from him. All right.
Really?
I don't know. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and see how it am done by all of us here at the Phil Hendry Show. Take a look at our live streaming video of our show. Don't forget our podcast is up, episode 40, an epic episode 40 with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. And the best of Bobby Dooley is in our shop. Bobby Dooley's ever so best of. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.